Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are looking at the divine nature of Christ, looking at passages which prove that he is truly the eternal God. We've already done studies in the past which look at the more obvious scriptures which prove the deity of Christ. In our studies this week, we're looking at those references that aren't often appealed to or studied to show that Christ truly is the eternal God, equal with the Father, part of the divine Trinity. I'd simply like to recommend to you those tapes. We did 2 weeks' worth of studies on proving the deity of Christ, as well as a week on looking at refuting the Jehovah's Witnesses and their false teaching about Jesus Christ. And at the end of our program today, there'll be a phone number that you could use to call to be able to get those if you'd like. In our studies for the rest of the week, we'll be looking at today the eternality of Christ, which we started yesterday. Then later on in the week, we'll be looking at those references in the Old Testament that speak of the angel of the Lord. Then we'll also look at the passages which refer to Jehovah in the Old Testament but are applied to Jesus in the New Testament. Then we'll also do an in-depth study on Titus 2, verse 13, which proves the deity of Christ very clearly. But for our study today, we're looking at the fact that Jesus Christ is eternal, or his eternality, thus showing that he is the true God. In our verse today, we'll be focusing on Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, which reads this way: "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Now that phrase at the surface may cause you a little bit of trouble where it says the beginning of the creation of God. Because you'll be asked, especially by the Jehovah's Witnesses, how is it that Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God? And they'll teach from this passage that Jesus Christ was the first person created by God the Father, the Almighty God, Jehovah God, and that Jesus Christ is less than the Father and that he is a mere created being of the Father. He's the first one created, and they would look at this passage and say that's why he's the beginning of the creation of God. Let's look at this reference, which actually proves that Jesus Christ is the eternal God and not that he is the first one created. The Greek word translated here, beginning, is the Greek term arche, and it has a wide range of meanings. It has an active meaning, which communicates the idea, one who begins, origin, source, creator, or first cause. And the first cause is the idea that he would be the source, or he is the cause of all this which has been created. Spyros Zodiotis, who is one of the most authoritative Greek scholars of our day and age, wrote on this passage, "Christ is called the beginning because he is the efficient cause of the creation, the head because he is before all things, and all things were created by him and for him." And in Artin Gingrich's lexicon, which is also one of the most respected and authoritative lexicons available, in Revelation 3:14, they suggest the translation as first cause. Once again, first cause is the source, he's the cause of the creation. Now, as you read that in English, you may say, well, it says he's the beginning. Doesn't that mean that he is the first one created? Well, this is actually clarified that this is not the meaning, but that he is the beginning or the source of everything, the first cause of everything, in John's own writings in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, it reads this way, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty." Also in Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, where God himself is on the throne and he speaks to John to write these things down. The verse reads this way, "And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the waters of life freely to him who thirsts." Also in Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, this term beginning also appears, which reads, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And those phrases, the first and last, the beginning and the end, speak of the eternal source of everything, the source of anything that has ever existed. So when we come to Revelation 3:14, we need to apply this term the way it is used in the rest of the ways in the book of Revelation itself. Henry Alford, in looking at this passage in reference to Christ, adds some helpful insight on this passage. And in referring to Christ in Revelation 3:14, he writes, "The whole of creation of God is begun and conditioned. He is its source and primary fountainhead." I like that term, primary fountainhead. That means he is the focal point as well as the source of everything. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this Greek term beginning does have a wide range of meanings. Some other possibilities are communicates the idea of ruler or magistrate. And when this term is used of persons, it usually carries this idea. It is actually translated principalities in its plural forms in other places in the New Testament. It carries the idea of to rule or having a domain in Luke chapter 20, verse 20, as well as Jude verse 6. When applied to Christ, it means that he has the authority over all creation. Now, some of the different English translations, I use the New King James, which translates it, the beginning of the creation of God. There's other excellent English translation which supplies other terms. The NIV translates this phrase, the ruler of God's creation. The Jerusalem Bible translates it, the ultimate source of God's creation. The New English Bible, the prime source of God's creation. Knox's version translates it, the source of God's creation. And Goodspeed translates it as the beginner of God's creation. So we can see from these various translations, they bring out the idea of authority, the ruler, or as well as the ultimate source or the beginning point of all creation. One other possibility is that we actually derive our English word architects from this Greek term arche. So it could be communicating the idea that Jesus is the architect, the designer, not only the ruler and the source, but he is the designer of creation as well. The idea that Jesus is the creator of the universe is also clearly seen in other passages of Scripture, such as Hebrews 1:10, where the Father is speaking to the Son and calls him Lord. He says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." Also, John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." This is also seen in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, which says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." Now, because it's translated all things were made through him in John 1:3 and in Colossians 1:17, all things were created through him, the cults want to jump on that and say that Jesus played a secondary role in the creation of God, that he was there present and that God worked through Christ, not that Christ was the ultimate source, because the term is translated through. Now, this matter is easily cleared up. The word through, which is the preposition dia, also communicates the idea of ultimate source. In Romans 11:32, it says the world was created through God, as well as Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, which reads, "For it is fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory." So the preposition dia can be translated by or through. And here in our reference in Hebrews 2, verse 10, it says all things are through the Father. Also, the word dia is used as the ultimate source in Romans 11, verse 36, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, Galatians 1, 1, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, verse 12, and verse 16. So we see that the term through does not mean that Jesus Christ was secondary in any sense, but he is actually the source. He is the source of all of creation, everything that's ever been created, thus showing that he is eternal. It's also important to point out Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24, in light of creation. It says, "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens by himself, who spreads out the earth by myself." So God here says that he created things by himself. When we come to the New Testament and it's applied that Jesus is the creator, it's showing that he is the eternal God. Then also, just looking at the context of Colossians 1, verse 16, which does say all things were created through him and for him, but then verse 17 says, "And he is before all things," thus showing that he is the eternal God. One final line of evidence is just reading through references in the Gospel of John, which so stresses the deity of Christ, and these following references show that Christ truly is eternal. John chapter 1, verse 2 says, "He was in the beginning with God." Verse 3 says, "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Then also jumping down to verse 10 of chapter 1, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." Also verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," thus showing that he pre-existed. The Word, which existed throughout all eternity, became flesh at a certain point. Also in John chapter 1, verse 15, John the Baptist's testimony says, "John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" Then in John 8, verse 58, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am," which is taking on the divine name from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Then also in John chapter 17, verse 5, it says, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Then also in verse 24, he says, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the worlds. So it's absolutely clear from Scripture the eternality of Christ. One would have to be spiritually blind to not see these truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, I'd like to remind you the reason we stress the fine details about doctrine, especially as it relates to Christ, is from Jesus' own words in John 17, verse 3, which read, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." To have eternal life, to spend eternity in God's kingdom, in heaven, forever, you must know the true God and Jesus Christ. So if one does not believe that Christ was eternal, that he is the eternal God, they do not have eternal life. And if they die in that state, they'll be separated from God throughout all eternity. So it's important for us to have sound doctrine. I encourage you in your studies in that direction.